Are you excited? I forgot to do this last week, so I'll do it now. If there's any other kids that are going to go downstairs or want to go downstairs, you're more than welcome to go at this time. I forgot to do it last week, and we're getting better each week here. So we hadn't done this in, what, a year or so. So getting used to dismissing kids again, it's... And I got to remember to treat your kids a little bit differently than I treat my kids. Like, I would just tell my kids, hey, get downstairs! I'm just kidding. I'm just sometimes I do, though. Yeah. Oh, we don't even have a basement yet. But I tell them to do something. No, anybody's excited to be at church, really? You awake? Are you awake? All right, so let's open our Bible, if you have it, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I would have it on a PowerPoint slideshow, but my wife or my three-year-old lost my internet until like this morning. I found it this morning right before I came to church and didn't have time to put it on there, and we have now found internet in the Keene cabin, so we are good to go from this point forward. But Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22 is where we're going to go. So if you have your Bible, open it up. If you have your smartphone app, scroll it open. If you don't have either, then next week, bring a Bible, download the app, or get with us so we can get you one before next Sunday. And I will also hopefully have a slide for you. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, this is what happens. It's titled as the section of Jesus walks on water. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Well, if you look back just before this, the crowds were when he fed just over 5,000 men, and they expect it was anywhere between 10 to 15,000 people that Jesus fed. And he performed the miracle, and he fed the people with the baskets full of leftovers, and people were fed and full, and they went on their way. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Before we go any further, let me just make a note. If Jesus thought it was important to pray after things and before things, then you should as well. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Verse 31 says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And what I want to do is I want to take this particular passage and pull out a few things that we see in it that we would also, if we were to mirror our lives with this particular story, you would see that the same things happen in our lives as it did here in this little glimpse of Peter walking on water, drowning and being rescued by Jesus. And the first is the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves. And it even says as Jesus was praying, the boat was a long way, beaten by the waves, and the wind was against them. Peter actually looked, and because of the wind, he became fearful. And I believe I may have preached this message in a little different way before. And I always thought that the climax of the story was Peter paying attention to the winds and the waves versus focusing on Jesus and remaining faithful to Jesus. And Jesus calls him to walk on the water, and he begins to walk, and he starts to take some steps out. And here he is walking to Jesus. And then a little bit out from the boat, he realized, I can no longer grab the boat anymore, and there's nothing before me. And the winds and the waves are loud, and they're big, and they're fearful. And Peter was distracted and discouraged and could have been ultimately destroyed by the winds and the waves. And I always preached it, that, and always read it as if that was the climax of this particular miracle. And this story was to give us a visual of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus in the middle of divorce. Keeping our eyes on Jesus in the middle of cancer. Keeping our eyes on Jesus in the middle of bankruptcy. Keeping our eyes on Jesus in the middle of being laid off and trying to find a new job. And people abandoning you. And prayers not going answered the way you thought. It was always to keep your eyes on Jesus, because we all have winds and waves that come. And I always thought that it was when Jesus calls us to something, he called Peter to come. So it's whenever he calls us to walk in what he is calling us to do, whether that's ministry, whether that's parenthood, whether that's marriage, whether that's starting a new business, whether that's going into this service project or doing this ministry outreach, it's always a step out of our comfort zone. And it feels as if sometimes you're walking on water, fearful for the winds and the waves to come. And your winds and waves may be different than mine. So Jesus is calling Peter to come. And I believe God had called me into ministry. And about 3.5 years ago, almost, it was when we came here. And it was as if winds and waves have never stopped. There's always self-doubt. There's always negativity. There's always this problem called the comparison trap. There's always fear that I'm doing something wrong, or we're not doing something right, or we're not truly walking in what God's wanting us to walk to. Are we being too soft? Are we being too hard? Are we too judgmental? Are we too loving and accepting of all things and all sin? And there's this constant struggle with just life. And the winds and the waves are just life. But the problem is that some things of just life will distract you, discourage you, and can ultimately destroy you if you're not careful. I mean, we have lost loved ones here at this church due to illness, cancer. You know people who are struggling with maybe bankruptcy or just being laid off. You know relationships that are falling apart or have already done so. And if we're not careful, we will allow the exterior circumstances of our lives to distract us and discourage us from stepping closer into our relationship with the Lord and taking steps further in whatever he has called us to do. And I always thought that this was the point of this miracle being in the Bible. Because Peter walking on water is a miracle. He takes a step of faith. He starts to walk. And then Jesus asked him, not why didn't you have any faith? He said, oh, you have little faith. It's not the fact that you have no faith. Maybe you don't have any faith right now, but maybe it's the fact that you have a little bit of faith. And because you have allowed other things to push your faith down, it's as if it's almost non-existent. I mean, it's still there, but because of the circumstances and the winds and the waves around you and around me, we can allow those things to push our faith to a point as if it's almost not even there. And maybe today it's important for you to evaluate where you are. Do I have the faith in the face of life? Do I have the faith in the face of fear? Do I have the faith in the face of brokenness and abandonment and hurt? And I always thought, and I even preached it one time, because I can remember saying, the closer you get to Jesus, the louder the winds howl. The closer you get to Jesus, the greater the waves are. And I always thought that was it. Until I looked at not just the winds and the waves, but the way that Jesus responds to Peter as he begins to drown. And it says that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to or Jesus. But when he saw the winds, he was afraid. He began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And that's when Jesus immediately reached his hand and took hold of him. And then he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I always preached it and always thought of it to be a point for us to have no doubt, no fear. But the reality is we are always going to have fear. A little bit of fear is healthy. A lot of fear is destructive. Whenever I got in the ministry, it was fearful, and it still is. But I can't be paralyzed by it, and you can't be paralyzed by it in your ministry or in your home, because the moment you become paralyzed by it, then you cannot operate in what God is calling you to do and what He is calling you to be. But the moment that we have a healthy dose of fear mixed with a healthy dose of faith, then we are able to do mighty things. So whenever Jesus calls him out, Peter gets out of the boat, and we're not even going to pay attention to the other disciples that didn't even have the faith to get out of the boat because they were so paralyzed and crippled by fear that they just sat in there and watched. And Peter begins to walk, and he looks at the wind and the waves around him, just like we all do. And he found himself beginning to sink. And what did he do? He cried out, Lord, save me. And then Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. That is the way in which Jesus saves Peter in this particular story. And the beautiful thing is that you serve a Savior that is an immediately responding Savior. So the moment that we find ourselves drowning in sin, drowning in shame, drowning in this, or drowning in life circumstances, it feels as if the waves and the winds of life are completely destroying us, defeating us. They're too overwhelming. They're too unfair. Why me? The very moment that we cry out, Lord, save me, He immediately responds and grabs Peter just as He does you and I. That is the way in which Jesus saved him. By his hand he stretched out. And there is so much about the hand of the Lord written all throughout Scripture that is so powerful. When the story of Exodus was written, we read that by a mighty hand, the Lord delivered his people from Egyptian captivity of over 400 years. His mighty hand. Right hand. It is an illustration and an understanding of his authority over all things and all people. He is the supreme power over all people, all things. There is nothing bigger than, stronger than, greater than our God. Therefore, his hand is able to do mighty things that no one or nothing else can do. And the way in which Jesus saves Peter is the very same way that he saves you and I. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you've ever been to the point of feeling like you're drowning in something and cried out to him, you will see that he is an immediately responding type of Savior to pull us up out of whatever it is. So not only are there winds and waves in this particular story, and that's just the life circumstances and part of life that becomes overwhelming or distracting or discouraging or can ultimately be destroying, but there is a way that Jesus responds to Peter as he begins to drown. It's the very same way that he responds to you and I the very second that we feel as if we're drowning in our own sin, we're drowning in this relationship, we're drowning in debt, we're drowning in unhealthiness, we're drowning in everything. He is the same kind of Savior as he was there, as he is now. Now, whenever I read that this is actually what the story is about. It is about the Savior that we have, who reaches down wherever we are to grab us out of. Meaning, you do not have to go through a 10-step program and get everything all figured out and all aligned before he will save you. He is the kind of Savior that will save you right in the middle of the mess that you're in. He is the Savior that will save you right in the middle of drowning in whatever it may be. That is the way he saves. He doesn't ask for you to get it all figured out and then come to him so you can present yourself as somewhat righteous. He takes you right in your filth and your mess, and his grace covers all of it. That is the Savior I have. That is the Savior offered to all people. One that will grab us out of anything that we find ourselves in. Hold us upright to stand back on our own 2 feet. And then there's something about his hand that's written in John chapter 10. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And later on in that chapter, he talks about him and the Father being one. And his sheep knowing his voice. And then he writes in John chapter 10, or he doesn't write, he spoke in John chapter 10. That those who are in the Father's hand, nothing can take them from it. So the beautiful picture here is that Jesus is out on the water and he says, come. And Peter begins to walk. I feel like I got to walk out a little bit because we got two different congregations here. We got our front crew and we got our back crew. So let me come to the back here for a minute. Just picture Jesus in the boat. He says, come, come. Peter starts to walk. And then he gets out of boat's reach and he's slightly fearful and he begins to become distracted by, I'm using our life here as an example. God calls you to holiness. God calls you into ministry. And then the waves and winds of other people's opinions and my past, and my current struggles, and the unanswered prayer, they become as if winds and waves. They discourage and they distract us from what God's really calling us into and desiring us to do. And he begins to walk. And then he starts to drown, and Jesus reaches down with his hand, grabs him. It is the picture of us drowning in our sin, our shame, or whatever circumstance it is. And the moment we cry out to him, Lord, save me. Lord, hold me. Lord, comfort me. Lord, help me. We see the same response. Him immediately grabbing us and holding us upright. He said that I and the Father are one, and those who are in the Father's hand, nothing can take them from him. And the beautiful thing is, though relationships may fall apart, the moment we find ourselves in God's hand by crying out to him, loving him, and following him, that relationship falling apart, the bankruptcy, the illness or disease, does not ultimately remove us from his hand. Being held in his hand is the promise of eternal life given to all who believe in Jesus. That is being held in his hand. No matter what waves and winds come his way, our way, that he is constantly holding us in his mighty hand. The hand that saved Peter from drowning is the same hand that holds me in brokenness, holds me in my shame, holds me in my struggles, holds me in my offenses, and holds me in everything. It's the same hand that will hold you upright in the middle of a funeral home. It's the same hand that will hold you upright in the middle of a hospital. It's the same hand that will hold you as you have self-doubt or no self-esteem or people have abandoned you. It's the same mighty hand of our Lord that will hold you upright, being able to walk and to continue on. Because here is the next part, the last part of this particular story. There's the winds and the waves that we all have. And then there's the way that Jesus saves. But then this next part is my favorite part. And I never really noticed it until this week. And it's the walk. See, it says that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk. Everybody else was terrified. And once he got out, he saw the wind. Now, we're not told how far Peter walked. Some people will say it couldn't have been more than 20 feet. But how many feet would you have walked in this moment? Like, let's give Peter a little credit. Peter never gets any credit for anything. He did something pretty well here. He began to walk on faith. In the face of fear, in the face of winds, in the face of everybody else behind him and too scared to do anything, he began to walk. He began to pursue the Lord that had called him. And the walk is my favorite part of this text. My favorite part, because I never saw it really until this week. Because it says that immediately Jesus grabbed him, reached out and took hold of him. And then he asked, why you have, oh, you a little faith? Why did you doubt? Not, oh, you have no faith. Where are you? It's, oh, you have little faith. Why did you allow the things around you to distract you and to push your faith down? And it doesn't say that anything ceased or calmed until they got where? Into the boat. Into the boat. See, I picture that this happened and Jesus grabs Peter and then he calms everything and they stand on the water together. And then he gives them a little spiel of why he had little faith. But the Bible says that it didn't cease or calm until they got into the boat. So what that means is, however far Peter had walked out, he also had to walk back to the boat. And the beautiful thing about our Savior is not only does he rescue us as he reaches down in the way in which he saves us, but just think about it. It didn't cease or calm until they got where? Into the boat. And this is what this leads me to believe, that as Peter started to drown, Jesus rescues him up out of the drowning waters. And as Peter is probably crying and fearful, I've never drowned before, all right? I've never drowned to death before, but I'm pretty sure it would be frightening. Like, I would be scared to death, literally. Peter is probably scared to death, crying, weeping. I don't know what he's thinking. He's surely not happy and happy-go-lucky. Oh, thank you, Lord. Here I am. No, he is probably frightened for his very life. And Jesus grabs him up out of it, and he stands back on the water, and it says that they got into the boat. Therefore, they had to walk right through the winds and the waves that he came, and it drowned him. So the beautiful thing about our Savior is not only will he rescue you up out of it, but then he will also walk back through it with you. And what this teaches me is just because Jesus rescues us and saves us, it doesn't mean that we are immediately removed from and we teleport away from all of life's circumstances, the winds and the waves that started to drown us. But now we have company going back through it. So whatever winds and waves are coming at your in your way today, and they're discouraging you, and they're causing you to doubt, and they're causing you to be fearful and to be afraid, and I don't want to take another step forward. I don't know if I can take another step forward. Are going to be the same winds and waves that our Lord will walk right with you through. It says that once they got into the boat, everything calmed. And they worshiped him. And the beautiful thing is, the walk. Could you picture just for a second? You can close your eyes if you want. Don't fall asleep yet. You're almost done. You made it so far. But can you picture just for a moment? I mean, just seriously, picture for a moment. Peter starting to drown. And as he starts to drown, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches down to grab him with his mighty right hand. The same hand that delivered the Israelites was grabbing onto Peter. The same hand that holds us up grabbed onto Peter. And just picture for just a minute, Peter standing up. The winds and the waves were still going on. So the reality of your circumstances, even though you cry out to God, does not mean you are immediately removed from them. Cancer may still be the case. Abandonment may still be the case. Bankruptcy may still be the case. Having no job or people who have turned their back on you still may be the case. But the beautiful thing of the gospel and the beautiful thing of our Savior is now we have company to walk right through it with. You have a Savior who isn't just willing to reach out and grab you and hold you upright to stand on your two feet, but he's also going to be the one to hold you as you walk back, in this case, to the boat. And just picture him standing there on top of the water. The winds and the waves were still there. They were still howling. They were still painful. They were still massive. Yet Jesus held on to Peter as they got back into the boat. And then once they got back into the boat, it says that they began to worship him. The wind ceased. They began to worship him. And what I really want to clearly communicate to you today is it doesn't matter what winds or waves you face today, your Savior is still there to reach out, to hold you upright, but also to hold your hand as you walk straight through it. That is the beauty of my Savior, that anything I go through, any trial, tribulation, or pain that I go through, not only is He there to rescue me up out of it and stand me back on my feet, but He's also there to push me along the walking path and to walk right next to me and to hold my hand the entire time. That is the beauty of Jesus. That is your Savior, that is my Savior. That whatever we find ourselves drowning in, He will then make us and help us walk right through it. He doesn't leave us and abandon us there, but He walks right with us. That is the beauty of Jesus. That is the point, I believe, of this particular story that we see. It was a miracle. But for us to know that whatever it is God is calling us to, and it seems to be overwhelming because, let's be honest, anything that God calls you to is going to be overwhelming. Anytime that you start something new for the Lord, anytime that you try to love people that do not really deserve it in your own mind, it's going to be scary, it's going to be frightening, and there's always going to be winds and waves that come to discourage you and to distract you from what God is calling you to do. However, the beautiful thing is, even though you might find yourself or feel as if you are drowning in whatever it is, He is there to reach out His hand for you, to hold you in it, to stand you back up, and then to walk right beside you. Right beside you. And they got into the boat, and then it ceased. And I don't know how long it is going to be for whatever you're in. Maybe you feel as if you're in today, or you will find yourself in tomorrow. I don't know how long it will last until it seems to cease. But just know that there is going to be a time, even if it's not on this planet, that this storm will cease. But while it is still present, do not be focused on or fearful of what is present before you. Be faithful to, focus on, commit yourself to the presence beside you. The very one, the very hand that delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity is the very hand that reached out to pull Peter up. It's the very hand that will walk with you and hold on to you in whatever life brings. So my prayer is that today, that you would get it deep into your soul and into your heart, and that you would no longer allow the waves of life to diminish your faith. It's not that you have none, it's just that you've allowed fear to come on top of and push your faith down. My prayer is that you would leave this place a little differently today, meaning that you would be more focused on and more faithful to, and really test in your own faith to see just how good He is, in that He will not just rescue you, but that He will walk beside you. Let's pray together, church.